This morning. I'd like to entitle it, What You Were and What You Are Now. We begin at paragraph 14 where Brother Branham said, Then the life that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost, not the third person, but the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit, coming upon you as a token that your life and your fare is paid. You have been accepted. Until that token comes, you're not permitted on the highway. You're not permitted on the bus line. You're not permitted to go in until you can present this token, and that token is your fare. And now it shows that the blood has been shed and been applied to you. The price has been paid, has been applied to you, and you travel, and you have the token that the blood is applied to you, and you're accepted. Get it now, oh my, oh. Now notice this paragraph, Brother Bram is speaking of, the life that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost, and it is the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a token. That proves that you have been accepted. So we're looking at the real genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. And then he says, and now, there's just no certain evidence, see? Notice he says there's no certain evidence. He didn't say there's no evidence, but there's no certain evidence that you have the token. And we know that the evidence of having the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been a topic in the minds of the people for many, many decades. In fact, that was the argument among the Pentecostals since 1906. Many splits took place over that one issue. One group says it's the life. Another said it's speaking in tongues was the initial evidence. Well, he says, you say, Brother Branham, I feel it in your mind. You see, why will I know? Look, what were you? And what are you? There's how you know. See, what was you before this token was applied, and what are you after it's applied? What was your desire before, and what is your desire after? Then you know whether the token is applied or not, and these other things just automatically go with it. See, it isn't like talking about and saying, well, tongues is the evidence. Now, I will buy a pair of shoes, and the tongues isn't the shoes. It just comes with the shoe, see? It just comes with the shoe, see? Now, the same thing is the token. The token is Christ. But speaking in tongues and casting out devils and doing these things and preaching and whatever is the evidence that it's there true, but it's not. It's not it. See, it's a gift of it. If I told you, you say, well, I want you, Brother Branham, and I'll give you a gift. See, well, that's not me. That's my gift. Tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the devil can't impersonate any of those things, but it cannot be the Holy Ghost. See, he can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a token that the blood has been applied, because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemptions. You see it? That was the purpose of him coming. That's what he followed in every age. Every age he's followed that, to see that it's brought forth. Now notice, he could feel the people pulling, and he wanted to know what the evidence, the people wanted to know what the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was. And he said, well, there is no certain evidence, but you just ask yourself, what were you and what are you? There's how you know. See, what was you before this token was applied, and what are you after it's applied? What was your desire before, what is your desire after? Then you know whether the token is applied or not. Now, this is the biggest problem that we still have as followers of the message, because you won't find people saying the evidence is speaking in tongues. We know that, because Brother Brown pretty well ruled that out. So you have basically two schools of thought that are left. And one says the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is believing the word for the hour in which you live. And I would like to ask them to define what they mean by believe, and then define what the word of the hour is. The other school of thought, it says it is living the life of Christ. And if you're not careful with this, then you have defined what you do as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if it's living the life, then you're saying, okay, it's what I'm doing is the evidence. And now you enter into a works program. If we're not careful, we will lean to one of these schools over the other, and we end up allowing one of these two thoughts to rule out the other thought. And that's where people make their fatal error. Jesus said in John 14:26, that what will happen to those who receive the Holy Ghost. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And as Brother Branham quotes this verse and explains it in Questions and Answers, he said, what is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. He will, when the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it. And he is the Word. Then Brother Branham said, when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture. And that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you because it is the Word. Therefore, this morning, we're going to look at the new birth, the life of Christ, the token itself, to answer that question, what is the new birth, and how do I know that I am born again? And for our text, I'd like to go to open our Bible to John chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 3, where Jesus said, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning as we approach thy word. We humbly approach thee this morning with the question of the new birth, because there are still so many following this message that do not know for certain that they're truly born again. Because we have said that the new birth is believing the message for the hour, we have raised up a second and third generation of children following that message, this message, that have never known you in the power of your resurrection. Therefore, Father, we pray that you will help those who are not sure that they are born again to come to know whether they are or not. As your prophet said, the new birth is an experience, something that takes place. And we know it's not the experience that brings a new birth, but the new birth is experienced. Therefore, we should know when we have been born again, as Brother Branham said, what were you and what are you? What was your desire before and what are your desires after? So we ask you to help us to have a true confirmation in our hearts that we might know our exact condition of life that we live. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We see two things from our text concerning the new birth. Without the new birth, you will never see the kingdom of God, which means that you will never understand the kingdom of God. And that's why we have so many different camps in this message, so many little doctrines they chase after, and they exclude everybody else from their camp or from calling them a believer because they don't focus on their one little doctrine. And that's because they don't understand the message. Number two, you're born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Therefore, the life commensurate with this birth would have to attest to the word of God. Therefore, I would like to say this, that when we say that the genuine evidence of receiving a new birth is that you believe the message of the hour, we have to understand what the word believe means, because the devil believes and he trembles, and he's not born again. People have an intellectual faith. They have a genuine faith. Intellectual faith is not believing. I'm sorry, but Brother Brown said you're not a believer until you've been born again. So we have to rule out some of those things. So we have to understand then that then if you truly believe it, you truly hear it, you truly recognize it, because you can hear it and not recognize it, and there's nothing there. But if you truly hear it, truly understand or recognize, that means to understand it. Then you will act upon it. So the life has to be commensurate. You've got to have passive and active faith. If you don't have both passive and active faith, you have nothing. Now, for Mary's belief, Brother Ramsey, now listen, friends, don't take a substitute. Don't just shake a man's hand and put your name on the book as far as it goes. That's all right. but it might help you to get out of the saloon and get into a decent place to try to live right. But that won't do it. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message of God. Can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost who wrote the word will confirm the word. And the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit because his spirit bears record with his word. The word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the asunder the marrow of the bone and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's thus saith the Lord. That's the Lord's word. Just exactly. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in his elected church. Again, from it shall be even as it was told to me. Brother Brown says, anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? So up until that time, until you're born again, it's just church. It's just words. It's just doctrines. Now, notice what Jesus tells us here. They hear, but they are not capable of understanding. Then I would like to ask the question, what are they hearing? And the answer is not what is being said, but what they think is being said. In other words, what they think they are hearing and what is actually being said are two different things. Notice in the following quote, Brother Brown tells us the same thing. He says, to hear means to understand, and to see means to understand. But just because you're looking with your eyes, it does not mean that you understand what you're looking at. Again, Brother Brown said in Questions and Answers, Conduct, Doctrine, and Doctrine, he said, now, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Brother Brown adds, so see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looking right at it, and you say, well, I just don't see it. See? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. See? You don't understand it. You see it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at things. But with what's inside of you, you understand with. You see with that. See? With the eyes of God, you look. Now, what I'm trying to bring out this morning is very important because if you're not born again, you will not go in the rapture. So you had better know that you're born again or not. From the super sign, Brother Ramson, now, let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. That's why I think it behooves you parents, at nighttime with your children, in the morning with your children, get on your knees and teach them to pray. Teach them to have a conversation with God. Teach them that God is not just an object of your imagination. Teach them to pray and to seek for answers. And when you seek for answers, God will give you the answers. Again, for Questions and Answers, Brother Ram said, will all born again, he was reading a question, will all born again believers go in the rapture? No. Just the remnant. Not all born again believers. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. And when they was raised up and separated, the sheep from the goats, not all born again will go in according to the scripture. What is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. He said, he will, when the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect. Man-made won't do it, and he is the Word. When he and the Holy Ghost has come, he will identify himself in you, with the Scriptures. And that is a true sign of the Holy Spirit in you, because it is the Word. Now, this quote may be confusing because we just read a quote where Brother Brown said, unless you got the Holy Ghost, you're not going to go in the rapture. And this one doesn't say if you got the Holy Ghost, it says if you're born again. Now I want you to understand, born again and the Holy Ghost is the same thing. But many people perceive it as something different. In other words, and that's where the big argument came from the boys down in the Trinidad, because they thought Brother Vail injected some heresy into the Church Age book. Because he shows in the Church Age book that the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are one and the same thing. There's a lot of people who believe that you're born again and then later you're endued with power. And that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you're born again, they believe in your justification, then you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're endued with power for service. Now, and even in the early years, Brother Branham sounded like he taught it that way, but he really didn't. He just talked about being endued with power. But they would take things and they try to make it sound like, because that's kind of a Baptist doctrine. You know, the Baptists believe that you're born again when you accept Jesus Christ. You know, you say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall be, you know, shall not perish, etc., and have everlasting life. See that everlasting life? There's only one everlasting life, that's the Holy Ghost. So therefore, you know, all that believe. And that's just not the truth. It's after he falls. Have you received the Holy Ghost after that you believe? Now, but Brother Brown brings it back to John 14:26. When the Holy Ghost has come, he will show you things to come. And when the Holy Ghost has come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture. You see, that's what we've been driving at since 2007, is to try to get you to come to the place where you actually see the very life of Christ in you. And the only way you're going to see that is you've got to die to yourself first. That's it. Once you've died, you can be born again. You can't be born again if you're still living. So you have to die to be born again. Now, from his sermon, Hearing, Recognizing, and Acting Upon the Word, Brother Branham said, first, faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, he recognizes it, and then he acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but hear means to understand it. Let's look at it. Is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. We can take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and Paul said, what man can understand the things of a man except the spirit of man be in him? And no man can understand the things of God except the spirit of God be in him. So, and he says that the things of God are foolishness unto the natural man. So what I'm concerned for is a generation of children who have come up in this message and have never been taught anything, except for maybe another version of Jesus or a oneness doctrine concerning the Godhead, or they've been taught, you believe, therefore you are born again. But listen, they believe because all that is that they've been taught to believe. In other words, your children, they don't deny the message. They say, yeah, I believe the message. I believe Brother Ren's a prophet. But I don't see any change in myself. It's because they're looking with their eyes, but they're not seeing. They're not perceiving. Listen, they believe because that is all they've ever been taught to believe. A Catholic is taught to believe Catholic dogma. Therefore, they believe Catholic dogma. Pentecostals believe Pentecostal dogma, therefore they believe, they raise them up that way, therefore they believe that way. You raise your children up and say, well, God sent a prophet, here's what he said, and they say, okay, that's good. Goes in one ear, goes out the other ear, they kind of sleep through it. They don't understand. The heart that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that's the heart that will be filled. So they've been indoctrinated to a creed or a movement, but that does not mean that they've been born again. Just look at the masses of them that have left the message after being in it 20 to 30 years. To believe God has sent a prophet in our day does not get you into the family of God. But a new birth brings the very life of God himself into you. When Christ is a mystery, Brother Brown said, no, look, Christ in you. Not Christ in William Branham, not Christ in Lee Vale. Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Whether it's pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Not Christ in William Branham. That's not what the church is built upon. It's built upon Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, from his sermon, Second Coming, Brother Branham said, "Now, you can have an intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind and accepting it upon that basis, which is intellectual faith. But the faith that Jesus was speaking of in St. John 5:24, 'He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life,' that doesn't come from intellectual faith. That comes from a born-again experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, he's born again. And from there comes forth the thought, his soul, not from his mind, but from his soul, something that tells him that it's wrong and contrary, it's wrong. Amen. I hope you get it. You know it anyhow. And from Christ is the mystery, Brother Brown tells us, but the only way that you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. And there is a big difference between knowing something intellectually as a creed and having it revealed to you down in your soul. Too many people have come up in this message and might have been a good church people. Many have gone out from the message altogether. That's because they were never born again. And they never really had any experience with God either. You have many people say, "Well, I don't need to do works because Brother Branham did them and I'm counting on that. I'm going to ride in on that coattail." No, you're not. God don't have grandchildren. Now, from his sermon, "Christ is a Mystery," Brother Branham said, "Paul knew him by revelation." That's how we know him today. It's the only way that you could know him. Not say, "Well, I'm a Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. I'm Catholic, that means nothing." But by the revelation that God has revealed the word to you. Not God revealed it to William Branham. God revealed the word to you. Now, many stop here where he says the word is revealed to you, but all they have is an intellectual conception of the doctrine. But Brother Brand goes on to explain what he means here. He says, "He is the Word, and the Word, how you know it's revealed, it lives itself and expresses itself through you." So how do you know that the Word is revealed to you, or how do you know it's just an intellectual conception? Is the Word manifesting itself through you and in you? That's when you know it's revealed. If it's not manifesting itself in your life, then you know you've got an intellectual conception. That's pretty plain. So you cannot get away from the fact that many have an intellectual conception of the word, which they have, which they think that they have it, when that is not what he said at all. He said the evidence is not just an intellectual conception of the word for the hour, but it is a genuine hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word of God. Brother Brown said, "If you have received the life of Christ in you, it will express itself out from you." It has to. We're not called to become Branhamites. God has called us for one purpose. He has called us to become what we were meant to be, and that is sons and daughters of God. So don't think, "Praise God, I was born in the Message Church, so I'm okay." Because unless you receive a new birth, you're still going to miss the rapture. Now, from Christ in the Mystery, Brother Brown said, is Christ being revealed, and he is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. There again. When the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose of Jesus Christ was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. In many places that I have been around the world teaching the doctrine, and then I always go and make a follow-up trip a few years later, I found that very few brothers, that word is revealed to them because you see it in their life. You see them living it. Many of them, they get into fussing with others because they got the doctrine. And they fuss because they got something they don't have. But there's no life there. Then to me, that's just an evidence that they're not born again. It's not revealed to them. Because if it's revealed to you, it says it expresses itself. And when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. Remember the word revelation. What does it mean? Manifestation of divine truth. So if you have a true revelation, you have a true manifestation of divine truth in you. That's the problem that I see among those who claim to have the doctrine correct. If they have it by revelation and not just by intellectual conception, then it will produce the life of the revelation, which is Christ himself in you, the hope of glory. It has a life to it, and it must live itself out in our life, or it isn't revealed to them. It isn't manifested in them. Faith is a revelation. And if it is truly revealed, it must build up an energy that energizes, and that energy must manifest itself in an action. That is what life is all about. Dead horses don't kick, and spiritually dead people cannot manifest the life and the energy of God in them. So never forget the word revelation means manifestation of divine truth, and if there is no manifestation of Christ in you, there is no revelation of Christ in you, then you're not born again. Because believing and revelation are not the same thing. Revelation means that there is a manifestation to what you believe. Brother Graham nailed this down in the sermon, Christ is the mystery God revealed, when he says the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get that all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony, and God, notice, expressing it through the Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. That's why we can understand that truly John 14:12 is the manifestation of Christ in you. Then it's truly the revelation of Christ, the revealing of Christ in you. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Notice he says, by the same actions that he did. That's what he said here. Therefore, the new birth is a real event. Many people look at it as though it's just some sort of happen, something that's happened, and they're not sure when it happened, but they presume that they have it because they attend the right church, they have the right doctrine. And that's pure hogwash, and the person that thinks that was never born again to begin with. Many say, well, we have Brother Branham, we believe he's a prophet of God. Well, we have Brother Vail, we believe he's a teacher of God. And that sort of thinking is carnal. You won't make the rapture based on Brother Branham's life or based on Brother Vail's life. You'll make the rapture based on being born again, a son or daughter of God, period. And to be born again is a life-altering experience. And if your life has not been altered to serve the living God, then I wonder if you've truly been born again. You'll never make it by saying, well, Lee Vail is a teacher. Nope. The Bible said the Holy Ghost is a teacher. There will be many who make it that never heard of Brother Vail. Now, he told me on several occasions, Brian, so there are people who are saying that once the veil is gone, teaching will be over, but that is pure hogwash because the Holy Ghost is a teacher. And as long as the Holy Ghost is still here, there will be teaching. So, you might talk the talk, and you might walk the walk, but have you been made alive in Christ Jesus? That's the real question. And are you aware of what he's doing in this hour? And you say, well, how do I know what he's doing in this hour? Is he doing it in you? I don't care if you see it in somebody else. Is he doing it in you? What is Christ doing in this hour in you? That's what your focus should be. Is Christ changing me? From is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Ram said, I was telling someone this afternoon in a little meeting, I said, every son that's born of God has to be tried first and chastened. And I remember when I had mine. Oh, on my greatest hour, when a man's born again, there's a little spot like the size of his little fingernail that God injects into his system, and it falls into his heart, and there it anchors. Then Satan makes him prove it. And if that ain't there, you're gone. And Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So it doesn't matter. Some might bring forth more fruit, but are you bringing forth fruit? Some 60, some 100, some 60, some 30. Are you bringing forth 30? In other words, is that life producing? Now the problem is, since we're born again by the Word of God, it does start in the mind, but it doesn't end in the mind. It must be anointed by the life of God, and then it works itself down into the soul, and it quickens our very life with the life of Christ. From blasphemous names, Brother Ram said, patience and so forth, there's a mockery of it, a pretending to be. A natural given faith, a natural given virtue. There's a natural given temperance, and all these things are naturally given. And the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, he said, there is going to be a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is still God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. Now, he's not talking about spending hours and hours and hours studying. You know, like the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. But, you know, so they think by a lot of study, they can get somewhere. And Paul said, much study hath made thee mad. Or that's what, And upon this foundation I'll build my church, see, not upon the mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. Then, when them streams of grace is poured into the mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, that shows that they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now, last week I read a quote, and I can't remember exactly the quote, but Brother Branham was talking about when it drops down from a mental into your soul, it actually begins to live itself out in your soul. That's when you've got it. You see. And then three paragraphs later, Brother Brown says, from blasphemous names. And then, that was number one. Number one, coming to your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, and number three, then you'll have spiritual, you'll have the Holy Spirit, and will seal all those things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this. Now, let me just try to remember it even better. Brother Branham was saying that when anything in your life comes and you go to the Word for your response, then you know that there's something that you have in there that's His. Then you know you're His. In other words, when you claim that Word and every question in life, you go back to the Word. That's your absolute. That's your tie post. That's when you know something has changed in here. He says, from your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in then. Then you become one. Amen. You become one. You see, you and Christ live together. At that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. Now, after last Sunday's message, when we spoke on the twain becoming one, showing how that Jesus was a dual being because God lived in him, as we read the quotes, he said sometimes the disciples would hear Jesus speaking and sometimes they hear God speaking. And sometimes they hear the man, sometimes they hear the God that lived in the man. And they were kind of confused by it. But we also found that we are dual beings as well when we're truly born again. Because if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken and make alive our mortal bodies. And after service, Brother Peter Gatchell got a little inspiration and went to study for himself, as he usually does, to find out more of what was said. And he came across this following quote from Brother Branham, from The Marriage of the Lamb. Brother Branham said, "But you see, first, the decision is made." Now, that's justification. "Next is the engagement, then the promise, and then the ceremony. And that's when the bride takes the bridegroom's name. She is no longer more of her own name. She takes the bridegroom's name. And then when the church has a ceremony, it makes their promises, then she takes the bridegroom's name. Then she is no longer a church of the world. She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Now, I don't mean that by name. I mean that by birth, by nature, by the power of God, by the revealed truth of God in the heart, she becomes a Christian church, the great universal apostolic Christian church. She becomes a part of Him, a part of Christ. And when she does that, she and Christ injects into her His own Spirit, His own life. And the Bible said to Adam and Eve there, "You are no longer twain, but one." And when the woman, the church, is married to Christ, they are no longer two, they are one. Christ in you. Amen. That's it. His life has been brought into you. Then you become the bride. Then another thing, after she has taken all these vows and so forth in the ceremony, has been said, like my wife was a Broy before she was married. Now she is no longer a Broy. She is a Branham. Now she isn't no more Broy. She is a Branham. And when you come into Christ, you're no more of the world. You are of Christ. See, you care not then for the things of the world. They are dead to you. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in him. So you see, you can't be artificial Christian. You can't be an artificial professed Christian. But you can't become a Christian until Christ injects himself by the baptism of the Holy Ghost into you. Then you're connected with him. You're no longer twain, you are one. Christ promised to be in us as the Father was in Christ. I and my Father are one. You and I are one. See, Christ in us, all that God has poured, or all that God was, he poured into the Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church to continue the work of the gospel. Well, I did a little bit more research myself on that subject, and found Brother Branham said from confirmed Abraham's covenant confirmed, he said, he confirmed it and showed him what he would do. How that he would tear his own son, spared his son over here in Genesis 22 and 14. We find that he spared his son there, showing him what he would do, cross on his back, and we get to it tomorrow night as we go as he goes up to Calvary. Now, don't miss it. Now, notice, now we're going to get more statement here. I see it. I got about 3 minutes. Now, in the 17th chapter, let's get to this. This is a beautiful. Now, watch. Three times he made mention of the confirmation of the covenant, Genesis 13, 14. When he separated himself, obeyed, and then he told him, I'll take you like the sands of the sea. Then in Genesis 15 here, like the stars of the heaven, Genesis 17, 1, he appeared to him after the great trial where Sarah had went off the line, and God would have slew Sarah. Now here's a beautiful thing. When he doubted, when Sarah doubted God, God would have got rid of her, but he couldn't do it. Why? She's a part of Abraham. That's the reason when we do wrong, God would slay us. I could never come here and preach a revival. No other preacher couldn't. You'd never have a revival. You'd be cut off forever, but he can't do it. He cuts his own son off of it if he does, see. For the wife is part of the husband. They're no longer twain, they're one. So he couldn't have hurt Sarah without hurting Abraham. So he had to take Sarah in. That's the way God does to us. Our sins, he depart from us as long ago, but we're in Christ. Amen. See, so he forgives us our sins, Sarah, and all of her mistakes. So in other words, when you become twain, you cut off part of that twainness, and you can kill the person. Jesus is the head. If you cut off the head, the body's dead. But we're connected together. Christ and the mystery of God revealed, what is it? Not them people. The headship of the body has become one unit. It's God manifested in his people. That's the reason the husband and wife is no longer twain, they're one. God and his church is one. Christ in you. That God's great revelation, glory to God, even bearing his name is Jesus, the anointed. The reason he's called Jesus, he is the anointed. And it's the anointed body of Christ proving manifested God like that body did. And that body redeemed every one of those bodies. And from what is the Holy Ghost says, circumcision can only be in the male. But if the woman was married to the man, she was a part of him, she was circumcised with him. I remember in Timothy where he said, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continues in faith and holiness with all sobriety. Now circumcision, you know, when Sarah laughed in the tent behind her at the message of the angel, when he said, Abraham, not knowing who he was, a stranger, where is thy wife Sarah? How did he know that that was his wife? As Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now remember, those signs wasn't committed down to Sodom and Gomorrah in the world amongst the religionists. It was to the elect, the called out. And Abraham was called out. And the word church means called out, the separated. Like Abraham separated himself and had been circumcised. And then when Sarah laughed at the very message of the angel, God would have killed her on the spot, but he could not. Because he could not bother Sarah without bothering Abraham. Because they were one. She was a part of him. You're no longer twain, but one. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham said concerning how the Holy Spirit comes and anoints our mental faith. And then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon word upon word upon word. Brother Branham said, when them streams of grace is poured into our mental faith that you've got, then upon this, it becomes a spiritual revelation. Now, Peter, the one who Jesus prayed for receiving the revelation of the Godhead, that there is one God, he had a son, and Jesus was the Son of God. In 1 Peter 1:13, he tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice he says, at the end time, there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10, we read, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are to be enriched, which means like fertilizer. By him in all utterance, that's your fertilizer, which is logos, which is the word, and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was being confirmed in you. The word confirmed means that there's something happening in you. There's a confirmation. In other words, the word comes in, you hear it, you recognize it, and then you act upon it. And the acting upon it is a confirmation. This is the same as 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When God comes to be glorified in his saints, when the very mind of God comes into his elect, and the reason for this is that you will not come behind in no gift, no charisma, which is spiritual endowment. Waiting for the apocalypse, the revealing or the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the confirmation is the very passive faith becoming an active faith. All right? In other words, it's the actual manifestation of the revelation. We also read in Romans 4, 7 to 8, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. So we find then that the identifiable characteristic of the new birth is that the people will be caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ as spoken of in 1 Peter 1 and 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, not mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the manifestation of Jesus Christ. So what is that grace? That grace is like fertilizer. It brings you up to the place where the very mind that was in Christ is in you. And if the mind is in you, the body will follow. And as this revelation breaks, we'll understand the grace that comes with it, bringing us into the same mindset so that we might all cry out in one accord, grace, grace unto it, which we find in the following scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brother, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, his mind, and in the same judgment. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, which means we have his Spirit, and we know that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, so then it's already a done deal. So, as we see from 1 Peter 1 and 13 and 1 Corinthians 4, 1, 4 to 10, God has given us a spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ, and he said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Therefore, it is possible for you to have God's own thoughts within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham is speaking of from the spoken word's original seed when he speaks on John 5, 19, which we'll just read. Notice what harmony he says. Jesus never did anything until he seen of the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word, his life, his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah here. Now here is a secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Not talked about, done. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. Then it is a germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. And he continues, he says in paragraph 87, all right, we notice then, see, the spoken word, then we are God's word made manifest. Then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my preacher says this, the days of miracles, and how are you going to do that and then be manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. Jesus said the same.
Amen.
You see? So what all I'm trying to bring to our attention this morning is look, what you were and what you are now. Brother Brown said, how do I know? I look at what I was. And I look at the change that's come over myself. My desires were, my desires are. My actions were, my actions are. So getting back to the token Brother Branham said, you say, Brother Branham, I feel it in your mind, you see. Why will I know? Now look, what were you and what are you? There's how you know. See, what was you before this token was applied and what are you after it's applied? What was your desire before and what is your desires after? Then you know whether the token's been applied or not. And these other things will automatically go with that, see? Let's follow this. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I apologize, Father, for the way I chopped it up, but Lord, I believe that your people understood. And I ask you, Father, to help that word not just be a passive understanding, not just be a passive faith, but Lord, may it become an actuality in us. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us, it will also make alive our mortal being. So, Father, we just pray that your token, which is your Holy Spirit, which is the evidence that the blood has been applied, that that token in us would be applied, and we would see in each other the very life of Christ, and we see it in ourselves. This we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing a song, To Be Like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.